enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Let's see, number 10. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. The song speaks of a desire, an earnest desire, to meet together with the saints and meet with the Lord in his house. Number 348. And number 274. Number 274.
There's been a change of plans again this evening for the topic that we had scheduled. And our part of the evening, we want to have a regular prayer meeting. If it gets a little bit longer, that would be fine too. We have something special for the children, a children's story this evening. This morning about 7 o'clock, Jolene called me from the Lions Hospital, and she and Sanford were down there, and he was waiting and presumably received or had an appendectomy about noon today. So he was wanting, I guess, to be excused for tonight. This may be as good a time as any. If there's any of you men that like to fill in on really short notice, I wish you would just kind of have your names in with the Midweek Planning Committee. It would have saved me a lot of calling this morning. But at any rate, I think there is something about a spontaneous service that can be a blessing even then. This evening for the devotional, in fact, I'm going to look to you for verses that you have come across or short passages in the past that have spoken to you, maybe just in the last day or two in your private devotions or whatever, that you would like, or maybe it's just your life verse or life favorite. I would like to, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, it explains in some ways salvation. It's maybe not as concise as some verses, but it's a blessed verse and a blessed thought. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's a real blessing. What verses do you have?
Earlier in that chapter, he says that we have made us ministers of reconciliation, given us the ministry of reconciliation, and the word of reconciliation, made us ambassadors of Christ. I think there's a tremendous message in Christians' call to the
verses. It's one of my favorite passages, that part of 2 Corinthians 5. Someone else. This could be from either side.
Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Okay.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding.
If you have references with those, why, that's fine too. Trusted in the Lord and not leaned on his own understanding. Yeah, that's good. Who else? Very good. Is that Colossians 3? Okay. Who else? I think a lot of us are anxious to get to that chapter. Especially the teachers, probably.
God finishes with, for if this is the whole duty of man, and if we think for the salvation of the duty rather than the joy of the Lord, then it's a different attitude.
Who else? This is encouraging. Have you ever heard anyone pray that in English before a meal? I'm not sure I have, and I've probably heard it in German and wasn't able to put it together. But who else?
Psalm 16, verses 8 and 11. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Okay. And if you have any comments with these verses, go ahead. Dan?
1 John, 2nd chapter, verses 15, 16, and 17. And this is what they say. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever.
Okay. Very good.
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. those, that verse was especially meaningful to me in my early teens when I was struggling with assurance of salvation. I like that verse.
Mm-hmm. Good. Perry.
In the very center of the Bible, Psalm 118, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Okay. Joshua 1:8. Man's insufficiency of himself and the necessity of Christ being all in all. Yes. You remember the context of where that was? Who else? Very good. Anyone else? Amos.
Colossians 3:16. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with praise in your hearts to the Lord.
Okay, very good. One more. Certainly many times we realize, more than others at least, that we need wisdom and that we need God. Okay, I appreciate very much your participation in that. Let's go ahead and move into prayer requests. Maybe we could start with some things to be thankful for before we go into the requests. You boys here on the front row, do you have something you're thankful for? How about you young ladies? First couple of rows. Surely there's a lot of things you're thankful for. Stephen, do you have something you're thankful for? Who's going to break the ice? You have something? Yes. You like the cool weather. I thought that was a blessing in many ways. Okay, who else? Another one, several things to be thankful for.
A caring fellowship of believers.
Caring fellowship of believers. Okay, for freedoms, religious freedoms especially. Mm-hmm. Another Thanksgiving. Peace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's move into some petitions, requests. Oh, okay. Having surgery. Okay. I would like to request prayer for the situation in India. The things are far from settled there. We're not quite sure what this is going to be doing with the fall visit seminar schedule planned for November. We're trying to see what we should be doing there, but sure like you to help to remember. We've had different contacts from India and not quite sure yet. It's not real clear what we should be doing, but there's still significant persecution or significant unrest, and we don't know how it would be to be forced to leave for the forest for our own personal safety. Perry, you had your hand up, I think. Okay.
He had a change of plans for what was announced. He canceled out the pandemic.
Okay.
And someone else has taken that assignment. And the proceedings for his investigation to see whether it's malignant is or whether it's spread to the lymph node is starting tomorrow.
Okay.
An appointment tomorrow.
Okay. I'm sure he would appreciate our prayers for that.
Great.
Okay. Well, we have a good list here, a big list. I would like, I think, if we would do the small group thing. So.
Well, good evening, boys and girls. Are there boys and girls here this evening? Good evening. Let's try, can we try it one more time? There's more than that, aren't there? Good evening, boys and girls.
Good evening.
Sure enough, there are some. Well, we're glad you're here. I have a little lesson that I'd like to talk about tonight. There are two verses I'd like to read to you from the Bible. The lesson is about temptation. There's a very common verse about temptation and how God helps us when we're tempted with things to escape temptation. And I'm going to read that verse. In fact, I'm going to read that verse and the verse that just follows it. And then I'd like to talk a little bit about some lessons that we can learn. The verse is found in 1 Corinthians 10:13-14. It says this, that there is no temptation, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, may sound like some pretty big words, but what it really means is this, that sometimes we get tempted, and sometimes the temptation is pretty strong to do something or to have something or to wish for something that we should not have or should not do. And the Bible says that when that time comes, and we're tempted, God will help us not to overcome that temptation. And then the verse that follows it, maybe I'll leave that till the end, to the conclusion then. Now, the devil has different ways of tempting us, but there's something that is almost always a part of the devil's trick in temptation, and that is a trap. Now, I'm going to have somebody tell us something about trapping that he doesn't know he's going to yet. But I think if I know right, there are some Utsi boys that do some trapping. Is that right? Now, there's three of them, and I'm not sure which one of the three does the most or is the best at it. But David, could you tell us a little bit about trapping? You don't do the trapping. Is it Michael that does the trapping? It's Justin. We'll get there eventually. Well, Justin, could you just stand up and just from where you are, just tell us a little about what you do with the trap. I'll ask you some questions. Now, first of all, the trap is usually made out of metal. Is that right?
Yeah, a trap is usually.
Okay. And what do you do with the trap?
Basically, you try to hide it, conceal it, so the animal doesn't know it's there, and then the animal comes along, you grab them before he knows what happens, and then you get it.
Uh-huh. Do you ever put bait in a trap? Not the ones you use, maybe. Okay, but you have
a. Uh-huh.
Thank you, Justin. That's helpful. Now, you see what Justin said is this. Now, a trap, I don't know how many of you know what traps look like, but off it's the one that I used to see and used to play with just a little bit. I mean, I used to try to trap a little tiny bit with it. It was one that it had some steel jaws. And you'd open those jaws, and the one that I used to use would put a little bait in it or close to it, and then hopefully something would step on the trigger that closes the trap and it catches the animal. And then you've got the animal. Then you do with them what you want to. Some people take them, they kill them, they skin them, and that kind of thing. But anyhow, that's not so different from the way that the devil works. He gives you something that looks like it would be very, very good to have. But when you reach for it and when you get it, somehow he gets you. Now, I have a trap with me, and it's a different kind of a trap. I actually, it was a little hard for me to believe for sure that this is true. So I looked it up today, and I found out indeed that this is a trap. A trap for more than just fruit flies. It's a jar, and it's a peach, and it's got a string tied around the neck. Now, what animal do you think you'd trap with that? Do you have any ideas? Think a rabbit would trap with it? We catch it? You don't think so? Why not? Don't rabbits? Huh? They're too wild, okay? Yeah. That's probably true.
And it's probably too big.
Okay, it may be too big. Yeah, that's right. He couldn't get his paws around that, could he? A mouse. A mouse could at least get in, couldn't it? I'm not sure, and I'll bet a mouse would chew on the peach, but he might get away too. Any more guesses? What animal you can trap with this? Birds? Well, some birds would probably go in there and eat at the peach. I'll tell you what kind of a trap it is. It's a monkey trap. Now, we don't have very many monkeys here in this part of the country except in the zoo. And so I haven't actually tried it. But they tell me, now, in places where they don't have glass jars, of course, they would use something like gourds. And they'd hollow out a gourd, and then they put a piece of fruit in there. Mike, I'd like to come. Could you come here? I'd like for you to try something here. You want to come here and help me? Would you get that peach out for me? You think you can? You're smarter than the monkeys. I'll tell you what, this is the trick. Micah demonstrated what a monkey will do. A monkey will reach in and get it. Will try to get it. And then when he's got it, he can't get his hand out. But why would it be that the monkey can't get his hand out? It's stuck in the jar, that's right. And what makes it stick in the jar? What would the monkey have to do to get his hand out?
Break it.
Yeah, that's right. He'd break the jar. Yes, Anthony. That's exactly right. That's all it takes. You just let go of the peach, and you can pull your hand right back out. But you know something? Monkeys aren't that smart. You see, monkeys are so that once they've got something that they want, they have a piece of fruit in a gourd or a fruit in a jar, and once they got a hold of it, they just don't want to let go. And he can't, the poor monkey cannot make sense out of this, that if he would just let go of the peach, he could pull his hand out and he could run away. But the poor monkey stays there till somebody comes and catches him. There's a story in the Bible about a man who was a little like a monkey. Now, he wasn't a monkey. And we don't have time to tell the whole story. But it was about Balaam. Balaam was a man who was offered something. Remember the story about Balaam? How many of you remember the story about Balaam? Okay, what did they offer Balaam? If he would come and curse the children of Israel, what did they offer him? Okay, that's right. That was, I think, finally what they offered him. They offered him all kinds of things to drive to get him to come. Did Balaam want to go? He absolutely did. And you'll remember that the first time he just simply said he can't go. Well, the next time Balak sent bigger and better gifts and princes and tried to get him to go. And that time God said, you may go. But he said, you can only say what I tell you to say. And so Balaam went. Now, they weren't down the road very far till something happened. And what was it? He was riding his donkey. Okay, let me see. Dietrich, go ahead.
Now,
The donkey, right.
And it started to talk.
That's right. The donkey stopped, and then Balaam began beating him, and then the donkey talked. Well, the story ends like this, that Balaam kept on, that in spite of the fact that he knew that it would be better for him not to go, he wanted that prize so bad. I think he thought he could get God talked into letting him have what he wanted. And you know, the sad thing is that Balaam, just like the silly monkey, kept a hold of that temptation. You're not a silly monkey, Micah. I just wanted you to show the others how it works. You did a good job. But Balaam was like the monkey who refuses to let go, and finally it cost Balaam his life. Balaam died in battle, and I forget now the details of the battle. You know, the sobering thing is this, boys and girls. Do you ever have something that you really want to do, but you shouldn't do? You know what that feeling is like? You know what happens then if we end up doing what we shouldn't do? You see, a trap is... Remember, what did we say about a trap? A trap is made to look good, or is there something about the trap or the bait that's used to bait the trap with that looks so good? But when it's all said and done, it catches you. You can't get away. Now, the things that you want to do sometimes that you shouldn't do, do you realize that when we do things we ought not do and then something happens, we get caught? Maybe it's a little bit like a string around our heart, or maybe somehow we'll feel bad. Our conscience will bother us, and we'll feel bad inside. That's the kind of rewards that the devil has for people who get caught in his trap. He makes them think that it's going to be fun, and it isn't fun at all. The lesson that I think we ought to take away from this is this, that we need to, when we know we ought to let go of something, we need to let go of it. You see, if we're tempted just to hang on to something, sooner or later that trap will catch us. Now listen to the next verse. After it says that God will deliver us, will deliver us from temptation, it says, for this reason, it says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. You know what? Although monkeys aren't really guilty of idolatry, that's their problem. Because they have something that they love more than maybe life itself. They don't realize it. But they so like it, they so love it, that they keep hanging on to it. And then they can't get their hand out of the jar, and then someone else can come along and catch them. Now here's the point. We didn't come from the monkeys. Let's not act like them. You may go back to your parents.
I have a request. The request is that those people in the back three or four benches would stand and come to the front and fill up the front bench as much as possible. Or possibly let's go something different. Let's go with the more, quote, middle-aged benches. Why don't you come forward and move to the front, and then we'll move the young married people closer towards the back, but yet towards the back. That is a song that deals with Jesus calling us towards himself over the tumult and over our own desires and over sin. Our next several songs then will deal with our response to that call. Number 473.
Jesus calls us, Lord, I should know.
turn to number 419. This is in an unusual style. I'll just cue the majority of the words. Let's sing the melody on, or the soprano line on unison on verse 1. We'll split into parts for the rest of the verses. Number 419.
My God and Father, while I stray far from my home in life's rough way, O teach me from my heart to say, Thy will be done. What though in lonely grief I sigh,
number 409. This song is one that always stirs me to think. It contains an enormous amount of promises that I'm making towards God about my life. I invite you to think about that while we sing it.
Take my life and let it be.
Yeah.
At this time, I'm going to invite all the children who regularly attend Sunday school in the basement and who attend General Assembly to come to the front. And Dwight has picked two songs, which you will sing for the rest of us. So, come.
Only a boy named David, only a little sing. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, only a rippling brook. Only a boy named David, but five little stones he took. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And round and round and round and round.
Keep me, Jesus, as the apple of thine eye.